Charlie Whitwer was hired by the city, or well, actually the village of Hillview, because of the violence there that was not able to be controlled. The interesting part of it is that they had lost several people who attempted to be their city marshals or village marshals, because the violent gangs would just run them off. One of them just disappeared. One of them took his family and left. And by a quirk of fate, my grandfather, who was a railroad detective, was hired by the mayor of Hillview, Illinois, for the purpose of cleaning up the violence.
And it was quite a violent town back then.
Well, yeah, the interesting part of it, I did some research. I spent 4 years researching this book, but I went all the way back to the year of 1900. And the number of people that fell under trains accidentally, fell in their well accidentally, fell in the river accidentally, was an enormous amount of people based on the size of the community. One of the problems also that was that the people in the gangs, these young men who were mostly unemployed, their parents, mother, father, so on, were pillars of the community. Well, when my grandfather, Charlie Whitwer, Marshall Whitwer, attempted to put these people in jail for their wrongdoing, well, the next day, of course, their parents would bail them out and they'd go right back to their games again. My grandfather, Charlie Whitwer, when he was hired, he said he would do it on one condition, and that is that he could appoint his own deputies, which he did, which was his three brothers. Now, all of a sudden, you have the Whitwer brothers in law enforcement and the gangs who are no longer being able to get their way quite as easily going head to head.
And this leads to a shooting that that apparently your grandfather, at least, he was accused of a murder and later exonerated?
Yes. My grandfather, having been a railroad detective, the only arms, if you must, that he carried was a long rod wrapped in leather that he rooted the bums or whatever, the hobos, off the railroad trains. Well, when he was appointed to the position of marshal, he said, "I don't need a gun. This is all I need." So for 2 years, he got pretty well under control off and on the violence until one evening, and I can tell you the date, it sticks in my mind, March 6, 1915, he had forgotten to go out down to the post office to get his mail. And my grandmother, who was a great-grandmother, who was a Cherokee Indian, was supposedly psychic, supposedly, and she said, "Charlie, don't go down tonight. This is not the night to do it. I got a bad feeling." Well, he said, "Yeah, it's just one of your feelings." And so, but on the way out the door, he decided that, well, you know, I think maybe Albert McClay made me this custom-made Colt revolver. I think I'll just stick it in my hip pocket. Well, that's what he did, and when he got there, there were four of the violent gang members ready to kill him and the mayor. Well, two of them attacked him. He got one pretty well under control with his cane, which he called his pain cane, and the other individual, who was about 30 pounds heavier than him, got him down. That was interestingly, or crazily, trying to bite his ear off. And he took the revolver and shot the guy in the leg. That didn't slow him down, so he shot him in the upper portion of his body, and when the guy hit the ground, it was all over. Well, the rest of the gang rallied around this situation, and my grandfather went to his house where they surrounded the house, and they were going to hang Charlie Whitwer. They were going to hang the mayor. I mean, it really got wild.
He did go on to live a relatively long life?
Yeah, he was charged with murder. Even though he was in law enforcement, the prosecutor said, of course, that, well, why did he choose to carry a gun that night if he never carried it before unless there was intent? Well, anyway, after spending 6 months in jail because the family couldn't raise the bail money, which was $4,000. That doesn't sound like a lot of money to us today, but when the average wage was $2 a day, that's quite a bit of money. So he stayed in jail for 6 months and then was found not guilty. And he left there and went to Jacksonville, Illinois, was then opened up the first or second gas station in Jacksonville, and also did quite well, but he told everybody that he would never be in law enforcement again. So he did quite well until 1929. And you know what happened in 1929? When the banks closed, he lost everything. And in 1935, I was born, and he raised me from the time I was, he and his, my grandmother, from the time I was 6 months old until I was 16.
We are talking with D.L. Dennis. He is author of the book The Whitwer Files, a bit of family history, and it centers on a period of time in Greene County about 100 years ago. Now, did he talk about some of these incidents all that you remember?
No, he was a very stern man. But I would hear my grandmother talk about things back and forth between them, like in a quiet conversation in another room. So he carried that burden with him. I think he himself wondered if maybe he was too reactive with the gun. I've never killed anybody, but I suppose all of these thoughts will have to go through your head of what could I have done different. But anyway, the family, the Whitwer family, his three brothers and all of them went on to their own lives, you know, in Jacksonville and Winchester and Springfield, and they spread out because it was a rather large family. So it was an exciting book. I spent 4 years researching it for accuracy. The important part of it is I felt as though I did a good job of portraying the Whitwer brothers and my grandfather, Charlie, because I was around them in my youth, and I knew how they talked, how they thought.
Did I also read that you got contacted by somebody who was a relative of the man that your grandfather shot and killed?
Yeah, and I was a little bit uneasy about that, thinking, uh-oh, you know, this person is going to say, well, you made some errors in statements about the man that was killed. And it was quite the opposite. This person wanted to know all that they could know about this young man that my grandfather killed, and I had more information than she did. So she ordered a couple of books, and I've been in contact with her, and when she comes to Illinois to visit some of her relatives, we get together and have a cup of coffee, and we discuss her family and my family. That's worthwhile to me, at least as a human being.